Thursday at 6 o'clock on our sister station, WIRI, the Marquette Coaches Show with Coach Shaka Smart.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Thursday after that at 7:10 on WIRI, Auburndale at Assumption Girls Basketball, Randy and Don on that one. And on Friday, WIRI is also going to have Edgar at Assumption, Randy and Don going to call that one as well.
Right. Boy, Marquette, they're having a heck of a year so far. You got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah. Seth, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Anytime, brother.
Appreciate it. Appreciate all your calls and feedback, everybody. Be back here next Monday for more Playmakers, which is brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Have a great day, everyone.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. A wintry blast has dumped several feet of snow in California's Sierra Nevada, closing roads and leaving others treacherous in the west.
They get bad. They get bad, sometimes really bad.
Snow also causing travel issues in the northern half of the country. Tow truck drivers in Massachusetts busy helping people out.
We are really busy, obviously, and very dangerous out here.
The Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams.
The southern side of this actually has big-time severe weather potential. Today into the southern plains, as we head into our Tuesday, into Louisiana, where we have a Torcon of 5. Remember, the higher the number, the higher the threat. The scale goes up to 10. We're going to have a 5, and those storms race all the way into Florida as we head into our Wednesday.
A Libyan man accused of making the bomb that blew Pan Am Flight 103 out of the sky over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988 is now in U.S. custody. It's a relief to families of the victims. Janine Boulanger's daughter, Nicole, was one of 35 Syracuse University students on the plane.
I carry her with me, and I frequently think about the other families that I had the opportunity to meet. There were 35 Syracuse students on that plane, what they refer to as the best and the brightest.
270 people were killed in that attack, 190 of them Americans. In newly released numbers, federal officials say there were more than 8,600 reported hate crimes in the U.S. in 2021. 65% of victims were targeted because of race and/or ethnicity. Experts predict a jump in the number of holiday travelers this year, with more than 113 million overall. Ellen Edmonds is with AAA.
This holiday season, air travel will see a jump over last year, increasing 14%, with 7.2 million Americans expected to fly. Flights and airports will be bustling and look a lot like they did pre-pandemic.
Most will drive to their destination. AAA says gas prices have fallen by 14 cents a gallon over the past week. Golden Globe nominations are out today, as we hear from CBS's Stacey Lynn.
For movies.
What did you come here for? Just came to kick your door in and give you a slagging.
The Banshees of Inisherin leads with 8 nominations. On the TV side.
Okay, everyone, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, except for Andrew, who is taking a principled stand against nationalism.
It's Abbott Elementary with 5 nods. The award show was not shown on TV last year after the Hollywood Foreign Press was criticized about its lack of diversity. They say they've made changes now, but there are still questions about who will attend and if the Golden Globes still matter. We'll find out when it airs January 10th.
The Dow is up 200 points. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a quote today.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. High of 35 this afternoon under overcast skies, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 28 tonight, cloudy tomorrow 37. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 33.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Comedy special, and they sent me out to do comedy clubs in, like, Idaho. And openers for me who were talking about hunting, and I'm sitting in the back going, oh my God, I gotta get together my best hunting material. I do. What do I love about hunting? I love the outfits. I'll talk about it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Monday! Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, Madison Tonight, everyone streaming on the app or on TuneIn or Alexa, and everyone listening to the podcast later, and especially a good morning, happy Monday to my very good friend, sidekick, couldn't do this without you, Jane Madner.
Well, thank you so much, my friend.
How are you feeling?
Well, we're having some mouth issues.
You are having some mouth issues.
I'm having some dental issues, yes.
Yes. Which is truly one of the most annoying things in life is just the sometimes sharp, sometimes dull, but always annoying mouth pains.
Yes. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it until you can get in to see the person with the implements. So we are doing that later on this afternoon.
Well, that sounds
I'm
less
so
fun.
Excited. Yes.
So,
yay.
And we were both, I don't know if you're recovering as much as I am, but we had our Christmas party.
Saturday night.
That was very fun. But that meant that I had a bar crawl in Madison before. And this is part of being a supportive wife. Because the bar crawl was not just for fun. It was my husband's.
He's an event planner.
He's an event planner, and he does bar crawls. And it turned out very well that both his scheduled bar crawl in Madison happened to be the same day that our Civic Media Christmas party was also going to be in Madison. And so we didn't have to make multiple trips. But it also meant that there was a long, extended period of drinking for the two of us. And I am not a spring chicken, yeah. And so I am still feeling that today.
You did admirably well, both of you, I thought.
Oh, good. We've had a lot of practice.
Yeah. Well, practice makes perfect, you know.
Well, we will talk a little bit more about that and kind of my lament as far as how much I wish a certain something could have gotten us to and from Madison. But we have a great show today at 11:30. We'll do the roundup of certain headlines that caught my eye today. At 12 p.m., Dan Schaefer from the Repopulation Area is going to join us, and we're going to talk more about the ongoing campaign and push to try to let Milwaukee have its own sales tax as we are staring down the barrel of
fiscal cliff.
Very, very bad fiscal cliff. And then at 12:30, Dan is actually going to take over the host chair because I have to go to my cousin's funeral, which I am probably going to spend a little bit more time tomorrow talking about that and talking about how, you know, his legacy and stuff and kind of more details because I want to get through today.
Right.
But I think even on Thursday with Dr. Mike in that segment, we may do a special segment, still set up my lineup, but kind of just to dealing with grief during the holidays, because I think that's something that more people than you think deal with,
whether absolutely.
It's someone going through stuff in the right now, or just grief in general for people who've passed a long time ago, because grief is not linear, and it feels especially pointed, I think, for a lot of people during this month. And so that might be our focus with Thursday with Dr. Mike. But you will be in very good hands with Dan. He's going to be talking to Evan Goyke, who is a current state representative, but just announced his campaign for Milwaukee City Attorney in 2024. And I'm kind of bummed I'm missing that conversation because I have thoughts on the current Milwaukee City Attorney, Spencer.
Oh, yes, Tierman Spencer.
And how he's been running that
How many lawyers have we lost since Tierman has been in office?
I don't know the number offhand, but
it's up there.
It's up there. It's up there. And I'm sure they'll go over that a little bit today as far as potentially the reason why Representative Goyke thinks it's important to get someone else in that chair. But stay tuned for that. That's going to be at 12:30. And at 1 p.m., Dan has Tanya Finesca, who is the from the Milwaukee Department of City Development, and they're talking about the new downtown 2040 plan. And then at 1:30, he's talking to reporter Allison Garfield from the Cap Times to talk about the Amtrak plans for Amtrak starting in Madison. Because this plan, which is, you know, died a political death under Scott Walker, sounds like it's potentially trying to get some legs again. And I'm just going to talk about it now, too, because I'm sure it'll be a little more detailed with Allison and Dan at 1:30. But having just gotten back from Madison, and I actually have to go to Madison again tomorrow because I've yet to find I'm very picky about my hair stylist, and I found someone who's very good at cutting curly hair in Madison. Shout out to Whitney at Curlbound, but don't book with her because she's very busy. And so I have to go back to Madison tomorrow. And, you know, the drive to Madison is from Milwaukee. I-94 is very straightforward.
And it's a great road.
It's a great road, and it's really not bad, but you know, we've had Ryan Martin on the show before, who is the anger professor at UW Green Bay. And in his TED Talk, talking about anger and what makes us anger, you know, he talks about how if you had to create a game that was specifically trying to invoke anger and get you to feel that feeling, the game would look a lot like driving.
Oh.
And so the truth is, like, and I, you know, driving from Milwaukee to Waukesha every day. And so, like, If there was opportunity to have a train that connects Milwaukee to Madison, and not only just those, like, no stops, all of the cities, whether it's Waukesha,
Johnson Creek,
Watertown, like, so Pewaukee, like, getting to and from, getting downtown, you know, people who live in the burbs of Milwaukee, a faster way to get downtown to enjoy a Bucks game or a Brewers game or something like that. But then for a lot of us, if you're going to a Badger game and you're in Milwaukee, then you reduce drunk driving. And then, you know, think really big, a train from Milwaukee to Green Bay. And so all these drunk shuttle buses, and you replace it with a train station of people trying to get to and from different, you know, the major cities of Wisconsin and investing in public transit. And so this, because of some federal funds, this conversation has been reignited coming out of Madison. But guess who has already said there will be no state dollars to fund this project if it goes through?
Let me guess. His first name starts with R.
It does.
It does. And his last name starts with V.
It does.
Oh, it's Robin Voss.
It is. Ah. So he went on record last week saying he promised he would not support this plan by providing any state funding for the project. And I just, why? If you have an argument of why we should not do this, let us know. 844-967-2789. I know this has political background as far as Scott Walker killing the deal that was originated under Governor Doyle's tenure And there was, what, like $800 million that was earmarked to potentially make this happen. And it was just killed because, you know, that money was, they argued the money should go to roads. But I feel like, I wasn't living here at that point, but I feel like some of it was like that money couldn't have gone to roads anyways, because all this money kind of gets funneled into one thing or the other. So now it sounds like there is federal money again with the infrastructure bill to try to reignite this idea of trying to connect Milwaukee to Madison with a train. And then that could also connect to the Twin Cities and all the way down to Chicago, and making life a little bit easier for people who are trying to get around in the major Midwest cities. And it looks like it's going to not get any support from the state legislature to move forward with this. And I just don't understand why. Like, good reasons, not political reasons, good reasons.
I don't know. Maybe we should call someone from the WMC and they could explain it, because it certainly sounds like a lot of the policies that our Republican-led legislature goes with originate from the WMC.
I don't understand. I don't understand why this would not be a good idea as far as, I mean, different mayors, the mayor from Watertown signed on to this, the mayor from Pewaukee signed on to this earlier in 2022. And it just feels like it would benefit all of the major towns and cities that are on I-94. It has more benefits than just the people who are in Milwaukee and Madison. I know that there's certain Republican legislators who like to stick it to those towns, but it feels like it benefits a lot more people, especially people potentially who are still commuting into Milwaukee. And so if there was a way to get from Waukesha to downtown Milwaukee, maybe we wouldn't have to expand I-94 to 8 lanes over by AmFam Field. And I understand that there's certain like last mile considerations of, well, if you take a train, how do you get from the train station to wherever you're going in Madison or vice versa in Milwaukee? But ultimately, like, there are Ubers, there are buses, and so you don't always need a car to get from one place to the other if we actually just all agreed that there's other ways to do this. And then you don't have to worry about parking downtown, which I know people in the burbs love to complain about going downtown and the lack of parking. And guess what? You don't even have to park. You can take the hop, because the other thing that everyone seems to hate so much. Have you ever ridden the hop?
I haven't.
That was my bachelorette party. We did a hop.
Oh, that's perfect.
Speaking about a bar crawl. But we took the hop from downtown Milwaukee and jumped on and jumped off and went to different bars, which is fun. It's very nice.
They look great.
They look great.
They really do.
So, yeah. So if you have any reasons, if you can understand why this should not get support, let us know. 844-967-2789. Because there is not a single argument I can understand of why this wouldn't be a good thing.
You ever get the feeling sometimes that some of our lawmakers don't really care if what they do is good for the people that they allegedly represent?
I do get that feeling sometimes. All right. Well, we are going to take our first break, but we're going to if anyone lets us know if they have a strong opinion on this, we will take your call. Otherwise, the next story I want to talk about is a politician who was finally relatable without having to make a TikTok. This is not a Wisconsin politician, but it is the first Gen Z politician in a certain tweet that, I want to talk about because I think it has bigger ramifications. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts, be it Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. We still need to get Jane on the podcast train.
Yes.
I feel like there's so much out there. Do you do audiobooks at all?
I don't. I like book books.
You like book books. I feel that. What do you listen to in the car? The radio?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yes. News. I listen to news.
All right.
Most of the time.
Yeah. But we're on there. You can listen to us as a podcast. And so You should subscribe to us too and rate us. That's the thing that they always say on the podcast is subscribe, rate, and share. So if you're doing any of those things, we would really appreciate it. And as always, you can join the conversation live, 844-967-2789. So, did you hear about the story of Maxwell Frost from Florida, who is the first Gen Z to serve in Congress, or will be the first member of the Gen Z generation to serve in Congress?
I know of him, yes.
So, you know, it was a big deal as far as he won his seat in Florida. I think he's only 25.
That's what I was going to say.
So really young, even younger than AOC was when she was first elected. I think she was 28, and at that time, she was the youngest member of Congress. And this weekend, as he's preparing to live in D.C., he tweeted out that he was denied an apartment in Washington, D.C. because of his bad credit. And, you know, despite telling his apartment rep that he had a credit problem and being assured that everything would be fine, he's 26. So 26-year-old Frost, he still lost the apartment and his $50 application fee. And his credit issue, which I think when we say is relatable, he's relatable other than making a TikTok, is, you know, at 26, first of all, you probably haven't had credit for that long. I think even me, going on 20 years, one of the things where my lower part of my credit score is like length of credit. And I think I got my first credit card at like 17 or 18.
Oh, wow.
Still, you know, it's still not as strong as if I was in my 50s or whatever. And so, but he's 26 and he quit his full-time job to run his campaign, which I think anyone who... I have never run a law, especially a long-term like congressional state campaign. The amount of all-in-ness that a campaign like that takes, and being able to have a full-time job and run a congressional campaign is not likely going to lead you to succeeding.
Right.
And so his credit issue came because he had to quit his full-time job and like the half the campaign season leading up to the election. And so he brought on debt, right? And so he quit his full-time job. He dedicated himself to running his campaign. He won, but he still has this debt problem that he's trying to take care of. But now that he won, he has to move to DC and he has to try to get an apartment, and he's getting denied. And, you know, soon he'll have a $174,000 salary to start paying off his debt. But I feel like this story, there's multiple things that it highlights that are a problem. One, that the housing market continues to hinge on credit scores, and not just taking out a loan to buy a house, but even that being a barrier entry to rent. And so it's like the chicken or the egg of, you know, how do you get a better credit score without having credit? But then, you know, to have better credit, you need to take on debt. And so landlords are relying heavily on credit scores, and there's all of these problems that arise with that, including like racial bias and them being inaccurate and one bad thing kind of leading to your credit score getting dinged. And, you know, the pseudoscience that makes up how you get your credit score. And then also the fact that it's difficult for politicians to secure housing in D.C. unless they have family money. D.C. is
expensive.
It's expensive, similar to New York, similar to San Francisco, Chicago, New York, L.A. It's a major U.S. city that is certainly seeing the same problems as far as not having a ton of supply of affordable apartments or other housing. And that was actually something that AOC back in 2018, when she went from being a bartender to needing to move to D.C., she raised this issue then too. And also, I feel like it highlights who gets to run for office. Obviously, the answer to that is anyone, but not really, without taking on a huge amount of risk. Because say he lost, right? Say he lost and he took on that much debt, he quit his full-time job, and then he wasn't going to get this $174,000, you know, which is a lot of money.
Yes.
But the risk of quitting your job in order to run for public office, and it becomes very easy for incumbents to do that because they're literally getting paid. They're not, you know, they're not allowed to campaign on the time that they're supposed to be in, you know, at the Capitol via that in Madison or DC, but they're still getting a paycheck despite, you know, and not having to take time off their full-time job. Or it leaves an opportunity just for people who are independently wealthy, who don't have to work, to be able to run. And so it leaves people who are willing to run, and the sacrifice and risk of no income just in order to run. And then if they lose, then what?
Yeah, it's a huge gamble.
And we want, you know, I feel like Mandela's campaign touched on this a little bit, because one of the things that Republicans tried to ding with him is him not paying his property taxes, him being late on paying his property taxes. But, you know, I have, not now, but I've had payment plans for my taxes and like had to pay incremental because I was like, well, I was freelancing and I forgot to save the money that I was making to be able to pay my taxes at the end of the year. And so like, this is a bigger deal, and I think deserves more attention for a lot of reasons besides just him saying, I have a bad credit score. Like, that's not the end of the story. And so, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting, but we'll have some more headlines when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Quality Foods makes Christmas meal planning easy. Get your Christmas dinner from Quality Foods on Baker and West Grand. Complete heat and serve prime rib or ham dinners with all the fixins, even dessert. While supplies last, call ahead by December 23rd. Quality Foods puts the customer first. No self-checkouts here. Getting you the groceries you want, checking you out, bagging, and loading them into your car is the quality personal service from real people you can continue to expect. Christmas dinners and the fixins from Quality Foods Baker and West Grand of Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
The Spice Girls. Muy caliente. Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, and it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Health Services Secretary Karen Timberlake says she'll resign on January 2nd. Timberlake led Wisconsin through crises like the COVID-19 pandemic and a statewide hospital worker shortage. The Republican Party of Wisconsin has a new leader and a new fundraising strategy. Brian Schimming was elected as state party chairman over the weekend. Schimming will be the first paid Wisconsin GOP chair. Republicans are trying to counter the fundraising advantage Democrats have enjoyed under a paid statewide chair. Foxconn has accomplished the benchmark for $8.6 million in tax credits and subsidies. The Evers administration says Foxconn created almost 770 jobs and spent more than $77 million on its plant near Racine. In April of 2021, the state revised the contract with Foxconn and created more realistic goals for job creation by the end of 2025 to about 11% of the original plan. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. High of 35 this afternoon under overcast skies, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 28 tonight, cloudy tomorrow 37. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
So the route to and from the moon was particularly busy yesterday because on the same day as the historic mission Artemis completed its lunar voyage, another began its moon-bound journey. And so yesterday, NASA's Orion capsule cannonballed back into the atmosphere, successfully completing a 25-day mission around the moon. And it literally cannonballed. This is one of those times it would be good to have Bob Bonadour back.
Right.
So it's hard for me to imagine, like, to wrap your head around how fast this thing was going. So Orion re-entered the Earth's atmosphere at 25,000 miles per hour, or 32 times the speed of sound.
Wow.
Is how fast it was going.
Wow.
And so two sets of parachutes slowed it down all the way down to 20 miles per hour when it splashed into the Pacific Ocean. That's how these things come back to Earth. Isn't that incredible? Like, this is the best that we have so much science to get it up out there, and the best we can do to get it back is crash into the middle of the ocean safely.
Throw a big sheet behind it and hopefully it'll slow it down.
Exactly. And so, but everything seemingly went according to plan. And so this is, to put context around this, this is like the first human attempt to get back to the moon in 50 years. And this is Orion specifically as part of the first mission stemming from NASA's Artemis program, which is aiming to plop humans on the moon regularly as soon as 2025. And so this one was uncrewed, so there was no people on this one. Artemis 2 is going to have humans and a crew on board, and that's in 2024. And then Artemis 3 is the quote-unquote holy grail, and that's when NASA is going to attempt to land humans on the moon again. But given all the moving parts, it'll be a shock if it happens by 2025, apparently. But flip side. Actually, this is a fun fact. Orion splashed down yesterday, and it was 50 years to the day since astronauts were last on the moon.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But SpaceX, you know, Elon Musk's, as we call him here, you know, his company that was doing very well, and it was, like, very exciting before he decided to take over Twitter. Hours before Orion splashed down, the SpaceX rocket blasted off carrying a lunar lander made by Japanese company iSpace. And so if the iSpace vehicle makes a successful landing, it'll be the first time a private company has accomplished that feat. It's the first time a private company will be in space and land on the moon. To date, only the U.S., China, and Russia has completed what's called soft landings on the moon. And so it's not going to happen for months. While Orion only took like 25 days to get there, iSpace's mission is taking the avoid tolls, quote unquote, route on Google Maps to conserve energy. And it's not expected to land on the moon until April of next year.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's some space stories for you.
What are we going to do up there? I mean, with this people lander, which is the Artemis 3?
Yeah.
Are we going to go for picnics? Or, I mean, what's going on up there?
I don't know. I mean, because it's not going to change the... You still have to wear a spacesuit if you're going to just, like, hang out.
There's no atmosphere there.
And so I don't know if there's plans to colonize it. That's what we're all planning to live when we can't live here anymore. Which, speaking of that, Olympics, Winter Olympics 2030, they're dragging their feet on picking a location because it's unclear of what the warmer temperatures and climate change is going to do to the typical places where we would have a Winter Olympics. And so because of climate change, warmer temperatures, snow texture, rain, and ice determine what is safe for competition. And it's uncertain which locations are going to be reliable by 2030.
Well, look at what happened in Sochi, yeah. Russia, which was not that long ago. And Russia used to be pretty reliably cold and snowy.
Yeah.
And that's not the case anymore.
I know. And so in the running right now is Salt Lake City and Sapporo, Japan. But it could be a host rotation if the conditions aren't met as far as understanding like what it could look like, which, you know, 2030 doesn't feel that long, like far off. It's 7 years, and obviously a lot can happen in 7 years, but that is an unexpected externality as far as planning ahead when it comes to being able to play in the snow.
No doubt.
So, but then other sports headlines. Morocco. Did you know Morocco was in Africa?
I did.
I had a conversation this weekend with someone who thought it was in the Middle East. And so I was like, well, you know, we're not always great at geography. But Morocco, North African country, makes history as they are the first, both first Arab nation and first African nation to make it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, which I didn't realize. I mean, because I feel like in most African countries, like soccer is in most of the world, it's such a big deal. And I didn't realize that, you know, despite how good Senegal and different countries have been, that this is the first time an African country has made it to the last four.
Yeah, that's crazy. And considering, too, you know, all these teams have players from all over the world.
Yes.
You know, so they're very diverse.
Totally. But yeah, so they beat, it was a major upset against Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo. And his pretty face, likely his last time, similar to Messi, I think, but Messi has moved on from Argentina. But Ronaldo, I think people are expecting this is probably his last World Cup. And so he did not make it to the quarterfinals or the semifinals.
He was getting all kinds of criticism for putting him in.
Were they?
Yes.
Why?
Because he did not perform up to standards.
Mm.
And there was speculation that they just put him in because it's Ronaldo and it'll be his last time. Oh, for footy ball.
Similarly, did you and Paul watch the England game on Saturday?
He told me the results.
Was he not very happy?
He expected it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So he wasn't surprised.
Well, we're talking, of course, about Jane's husband, Paul, is in British man.
Yes.
Obviously, so he was cheering for England, but England lost to France 2-1, and there is just something. I was watching that game, and there's just something about the France-England rivalry that dates back to like the 1300s.
Oh yeah,
that is something so epic about those games, and like obviously the stakes are much less than it was during the 100-year war. But
don't tell that to soccer fans.
No, you could just tell. I mean, obviously you always want your team to win, but I feel like having dated someone who was French, it is extra sweet when one of the, like, whoever wins those games really takes it to heart a little bit more than other games.
Yeah, they have long, long memories about those old wars.
So, yeah, so Argentina is going to play Croatia, and Croatia is considered the underdog in that game. And Morocco will play France, and then we will have the final game, I think, next Sunday, I think, is the final one. And so,
boy, if Morocco can knock off France, that would really be quite something.
If it ends up being a Morocco-Croatia, I would not be mad if it was a Morocco-Croatia final.
Two underdogs?
Yeah. I feel like for me at least, whenever my team is out, it's very easy to just root for the underdog as far as whoever my second favorite team just becomes who's the least likely to win because they become the most fun to cheer for. Will you watch those games or have you been just like, eh?
No. No.
Do you have, like, of the sports you will watch, I know you're not a huge sports fan, but which one do you find the most tolerable or most entertaining, depending on how you want to frame it?
That's a very interesting question. Do I find them entertaining? Probably football.
All right. Not basketball?
No. I mean, I feel positively inclined to the same degree for all of them. How's that for being magnanimous?
It's great.
Okay.
It's great, Jade.
completely non-committal.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one is a very sad story, but I feel like deserves to be acknowledged, which was on Friday, Andre Cross, U.S. Postal Service worker, was killed. And
in Milwaukee.
And it doesn't sound like there's been any more details as far as the situation, what happened. I don't think there's a suspect, but he was on duty and it was dark because it was as early as 5 p.m., but because of this time of the year, it was dark out, and he was delivering the mail on the north side of Milwaukee and was shot. And by the time I think police responded to the call, he was declared dead. But the agency, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service out of Chicago, is offering a reward up to $50,000 for information that leads to the arrest and conviction of those involved. And, you know, it's always hard because for our show, I never know what crime-related stories to bring up. Because obviously I think that's a lot of other shows do cover homicides and when they pop up. But this one just felt like, you know, the friendship and bond I think a lot of people create with their U.S. Postal Service person. I know growing up, Terry was ours in Madison. And I actually don't know. I think it's because I'm always here. So I have not met my mail carrier in my neighborhood now. But there's just something about this that feels extra awful.
Absolutely.
Just someone trying to do their job, and you just do not expect something like this to happen. And, you know, it's a public servant.
And you just have to wonder, was this just some rando shooting out a window? You know, or was it?
I know.
We're just so cavalier about life right now.
And I think that's maybe what it is. Is like, I don't know how I've yet to learn as a person who has a platform, a person who has a radio show, how to thoughtfully talk about the loss of life in this way without just piling on of like, it's awful. It's always awful, no matter if it's someone who gets killed in the line of duty, whether it's a child, whether it's someone who, you know, anyone, right? Like, it's still loss of life. And how to talk about these stories with any kind of nuance and understanding and, like, honoring those people without it just getting clumped into more crime in a city that is, you know, I love Milwaukee, and it certainly has its own issues. And I think this will feed into the conversation that we have around with when Dan gets here as far as how does Milwaukee get better? Well, some of how Milwaukee gets better and has the resources to curb crime and also has the resources to curb desperation, because the overlap of poverty and people doing like terrible things is pretty great, right? And so the poverty levels and desperation levels has a high correlation to crime. And so being able to have the city have different avenues to raise revenue, thus meaning that there's more resources for emergency services, but also for people to not end up in situations where they don't, you know, they have no long foresight into their future, which also correlates to crime, right? Of just like living till tomorrow instead of having something like an actual future to look forward to. And so I just wanted to spend a couple minutes at least acknowledging that this happened on Friday, because it is such a sad story. Everyone who's remembered this person, Andre Cross, has said that he was a kind, caring person. And so
condolences to his family.
Condolences to his family, condolences to his coworkers. And that's about it. And so, all right, well, a little happier news when we come back as far as the human rights campaign and some new cities that are doing a lot better when it comes to LGBTQ issues. All right, stay with us. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. We love getting topic ideas as far as things that are happening in your community that we may not know that's happening. And so if you have an idea for a topic or a guest, or if you have feedback, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, or as always, you can text and call in 844-967-2789. So this was some good news. You know, we've had a couple different people from the Human Rights Campaign in Wisconsin on the show before. And so we've talked about their Municipal Equality Index, which is a score that they give to cities across the country as far as how those cities are rated in their inclusion and equity and equality of the LGBTQ community in those cities. And so since 2018, Wisconsin cities have been taking steps to be more inclusive. And so they just came out, they being the Human Rights Campaign, just came out with their new scores. And they get these scores by surveying laws and policies of cities. And then they give a grade based on what improvement there's been and what kind of
changes have been made.
Yeah. And so of these 7 Wisconsin cities that were surveyed in both 2018 and 2022, all but 2 saw scores increase. And the only 2, the good news about this is the way that that's phrased, you'd think, oh, well, there's 2 that didn't make any improvement. Well, no, it's more that the 2 municipalities, Madison and Milwaukee, that didn't make any improvement, couldn't make any more improvement because they were already at 100. And so the score is like the most you can get is 100. And so on average, Wisconsin cities scored 87 out of 100 points. And that's almost 20 points higher than the national average of 68.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty good.
That is good.
And so some of the measures, like what actually increases your score? Or like what do cities need to be focused on? So they include but are not limited to banning conversion therapy, creating non-discrimination ordinances, and ensuring law enforcement reports hate crimes to the FBI. And so this was the biggest gain from 2018 to 2022. And the big 2 huge gains were Green Bay and Racine. And Green Bay went from 28 to 90.
Wait, what?
Green Bay's score increased from 28 to 90.
Wow.
Which, over the last 4 years. And Racine's jumped from 41 to 100.
Wow.
And so in Green Bay, some of the efforts that they made was creating an equal rights commission, approving a non-discrimination ordinance, and establishing a pride team at the Green Bay Police Department. Hmm. And then in Racine, their mayor, Corey Mason, said he learned He only learned of the city's low score 3 days after he took office in 2017. And so they've been working hand in hand with the Human Rights Campaign and local activists to make Racine more inclusive. In 2019, they banned conversion therapy, at least for anyone who's that's weird. They banned conversion therapy for anyone who's under 18 years of age. Is that the I didn't know there was conversion therapy for people over 18. Well, that, I guess it becomes an opt-in situation.
At that point, it's voluntary, right?
Yeah, I guess. But they also updated their non-discrimination laws to include language for gender identity. And in Oshkosh is one that they had a score of 52, and now it's 78. So that's an increase. And up there, one of the things that they changed is their common council passed a resolution in support of a statewide ban on conversion therapy. The resolution doesn't ban conversion therapy in the city, but was more to send a signal to the community. And so I thought that was some good news.
Hey, moving in the right direction.
Moving in the right direction across the state. And so one thing that was interesting is what one of the reps from the Human Rights Campaign said as far as one of the biggest things any municipality in the state can do is pass a non-discrimination ordinance that includes language specifically pertaining to gender identity. Because in the current state law, when it comes to non-discrimination, it's only on the basis of sexual orientation, not gender identity.
Okay.
So I think this has to do with trans rights versus how you identify as your sexual, your gender is different than who you are attracted to, meaning which sex you're attracted to.
Okay.
Or gender you're attracted to, I should say. And so yeah, so I thought that was really good news as far as I almost feel like it's one of those things that you should not be able to get 100 on.
You should always strive for better.
You know what I mean? They said that as far as Madison and Milwaukee was already at a point where they already had 100. And so it's like, it feels like one of those things there's always going to be able to, for room for improvement. And it also makes me think, is there anything that exists like this as a score for race?
Interesting.
Because it's interesting in comparison of, you know, I think, we all know that Milwaukee and Racine, year over year, are largely considered two of the worst places to be Black. And due to segregation, due to different outcomes, schools, a lot of different things that lead into that. So it would be interesting to compare that if there was any group that did the work similar to Human Rights Campaign to put actual scores on. And it also just goes back to the question of how there's been so many gains in the LGBTQ community in my lifetime. And not that there's a continued threat to their rights, as we see, as we just talked last week about the Respect for Marriage Act being passed, but also how many gains there's been in a shorter period of time than when it comes to race and racism. And I'm sure there you could write entire papers. I'm sure entire papers have been written on why, what difference there's been and why one has made so much more movement than the other. My theory, but I don't know if it's been proven or not, is because I think as it became more accepted to be gay, there was more of an opportunity that anyone, all of a sudden, someone they loved came out of the closet. And it's harder to have the legacy of redlining and segregation and not having access to people who are quote unquote others versus your cousin or your aunt or your brother. And you having to be confronted with your own bias with someone that is already in your life.
In your family.
That sometimes race doesn't always create that kind of proximity to have you be forced to kind of change your perspective on your own bias. So that's my theory. I have no idea. I'm sure there's other ones that exist.
We'll look for papers on that.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here. And we'll talk a little bit more about Milwaukee. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP
WFHR,
and the
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM. From the